Ah, yes, it's after Labor Day. The dog is back. We had a day off last week. Jimmy let us take a vacation day. It's Weber This Week on a Monday, the 8th of September, 2014. Longtime friend Bob Shipley in the house on the couch this morning. Politician, member of the Board of Supervisors, got a storied background. We'll talk to Bob about his background. We'll talk about him and his good friend Jennifer taking my money at the St. Mary's Festival this year. And he had no problem with taking that. As a matter of fact, he was smiling every time I lost a game. But it's good to have Bob in. And Bob, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Morning, dog.
It's good to see you. And I got to give you a little disclaimer on Bob. Bob, of course, in charge of, I think, handling the cash and the gaming at the St. Mary's Festival, which, by the way, is a don't miss for me and my wife Mary every year. And I told the story, maybe you missed it, but Jennifer Rogers is one of Bob's volunteers that was working the booth, and you put so much money on a little number there, the dice, and if you get a three and it comes in once, you get one time your money. If it comes in two threes, you get twice your money. And if it comes in three times, you get three times your money. And I was getting crushed like a grape. And I think Bob enjoyed me losing, but not as much as Jennifer did. And that was kind of funny. She enjoyed it, and I thank you very much for telling her to check out the show, because I commented about how enjoyed she was when I was losing all this money.
Well, the church appreciated it.
I know, and I felt blessed and laid in bed that night. I don't know. Jesus didn't come down and touch me on the head, but I was impressed. And
pocketbook.
By the way, Bob, that St. Mary's Festival is one of the best ones that we go to. So it's you guys do a great job.
Well, it's attributed to the great people that we have there. There's an awful lot of work, as you well know.
Well, let me. A lot of people obviously know you. You've been a fixture in the area, but tell us a bit about your background, where you were born, where you went to school, and when you got into politics. When did this all start?
Well, I come from the southern part of New York State, a little place, Olean, Allegheny area.
Oh, sure.
Down in the southern tier. I came to the Seneca County and Finger Lakes area in 1973, fresh out of college. I interviewed a company in Oaks Corners, New York, called Elderly Incorporated. They interviewed me in college and said, come on up to the Finger Lakes you'll love the area, and they were right on.
And you've been here ever since?
So, yeah, I've worked with Elderly since 1973. Back in early 2000, one of my golf partners at that time, Jim Mooney, asked me if I would consider running for politics. Mm. And I said, Jim, thanks, but no thanks. I got enough problems dealing with contractors every day.
I know.
He said, well, look, I could use some help on my board, and I'd like you to consider coming on the board. So he worked on me for the summer, and finally I said, sure. And when it come time to sit down with the election people, they told me they were all set on his town board, and they said, we do have an opening for somebody to run for county supervisor. And they said, would you consider that? And I said, well, let me get back to you. And I thought about it, and I said, sure. At that time, my daughter was in high school. And we used to have a gathering of kids come over on Friday nights.
Sure.
They come over and rent a movie or play some video games. And I knew most of the kids coaching basketball and softball over the years, and we'd sit and talk, and I would always challenge them, try and ask them, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do after you get out of high school? Mm-hmm. And they would all sit there and tell me that they want to, after they graduate from high school, they want to go to college, they want to get a good education, get a good job, and move away and start a family.
Really?
And that's the thing that really bothered me, is move away.
Move away, yeah.
You know, and that's probably the biggest reason that I did get involved in politics, was to try and change it. And as you know, living in New York State, there's not a whole lot of help from Albany for our local businesses, and all too much. Most of those types of jobs that require a higher degree of college probably are geared more towards the metropolitan areas.
That's too bad. Now, How long have you been a supervisor? How many years?
I'm starting my sixth term.
Wow.
Was this year. So.
And the terms are?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. All right. Wow.
So next year will be the end of 12 years.
Wow. That's impressive. Well, certainly we're going to talk to Bob about some of the issues that are facing the board. Of course, the board of supervisors are like Rodney Dangerfield. They don't get much respect. A lot of people criticize certain actions they take and certain things that happen, and Bob's only one of the members, obviously. You are in the majority, I must add, correct? The Republicans are the majority. Let's talk about a couple of things that you can comment on, and depending on how much you want to say. Some time ago, one bit of news that took place out of the board, and I do, I've gone to a couple of your meetings in person, but I try to read all the developments that are presented in the Finger Lakes Times by Dave Shaw. The discussion regarding the IDA, when in fact the board voted surprisingly not to grant a stipend of some $54,000, did that surprise you? Was that sort of a message by some of the board members that they were not going to allow that money to go that route? Was that sort of shocked a lot of people in the area, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Because
was it surprising?
We woefully underfund our local IDA to start with. And I think that was more of a personal issue with the director.
Okay. I was just curious. And where does that stand? Does it ever get brought back up, or is that still in negotiation behind the scenes, or is it?
It's just kind of sitting out there.
Okay.
But you know, and we were short a couple members that night.
Right.
I think if it did come back to the floor, it probably would go through.
All right. Now, that has to happen. And how does that happen? Does it, a committee meets and decides to bring it back to another vote? Is there some, the procedures?
Yeah, it would have to come through committee.
Okay, I didn't know how that works. Now, certainly, I know that, without mentioning everyone's name in this thing, I know the board has certain factions, and maybe sometimes the minority wants to speak up, and maybe they realize they were at an opportune time because of certain members not being there that the vote would go in their favor. That caught my attention, and certainly I know you serve on the Indian Affairs Committee. You certainly have done an outstanding job filling in the information as best you could. We've taken a couple of blows to the stomach. We've certainly took a sucker punch most recently with the Second Court of Appeals in Manhattan ruling against us regarding foreclosure and the collection of taxes. You've made comments in the paper, and I'm sure Brad Jones has made many comments. Many of the board members have spoken out about it relative that it doesn't seem to be fair and practical not to be able to collect taxes. However, in the Federal Court of Appeals, Bob, in the reading that I did, and I did read their opinion or their decision about four times to keep reading it. They pointed out in their decision two things that disturbed me, and I'm sure it disturbed you, when they indicated that in their belief that the Cayuga Indian Nation has sovereignty to a degree that would allow them not to pay taxes on the property. And the other issue that they brought up was that, in their view, second highest court in the land, by the way, that the only thing that could change this would be congressional action to change the law or create a new law. Is that a fair statement of what I read?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now you gentlemen have come forward and stated you want to go up to the high court and make an appeal, which I have sent you a note regarding it. I thought, well, it's a long shot, to be very honest about it. In looking at the Supreme Court decisions, they don't take a lot of cases, you know. I think I sent the stat to you. I review it. I'm a court watcher, so I look at all the Supreme. I sit some nights and listen to oral arguments in front of Supreme Court. I love listening. I love the judges interrupting, the Supreme Court judges. The thinking that you guys came forward a week or two ago saying you're going to kick it and try to get them to hear the case, not out of desperation, but you must feel that it's a long shot because of the fact they don't take a lot of cases. And what bothers me about the ability of going forward on this is, even if they take the case, there's no guarantee they would vote in our favor in the second place. And the other thing that sticks in my craw is, if the Second Court of Appeals says Congress needs to act, why would not the Supreme Court say the same thing? I guess that's where I'm coming from. How do you answer that when people say to you, are we sending good money after bad?
Well, to start off with,
okay.
Thank goodness that New York State has been on board with us since the beginning.
Okay.
and pays all of our legal bills.
Very good.
So it doesn't, believe me, it does come from the taxpayers of Seneca County.
Sure.
But they're together with all the taxpayers of New York State.
Okay.
And so when we get back to it, mm-hmm. Our foreclosure case is identical to a similar case that was brought by Madison County in...
Okay.
They were at the same place that we were about a handful of years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. They ended up with the same frustrations
right.
of lower courts mm-hmm. and even the Second Circuit Court of
sure.
Appeals ruling against them. They petitioned to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, surprisingly, as you pointed out,
right.
they hear the less than 5%
oh, they,
of the cases that are requested.
Exactly.
They agreed to hear Madison's case, and at the 11th hour, the Oneida Indians waived their sovereign immunity. The U.S. Supreme Court kicked it back to the Second Circuit again, and unfortunately... Andrew Cuomo negotiated with the Indians,
right.
and part of the negotiations with Madison and Oneida County was for both of them to drop all their lawsuits.
Okay.
So that's what effectively killed that particular action. So we think that the U.S. Supreme Court is poised. We think they want to hear it.
Okay, good.
We think that they would like to move to weigh in on the case. Your other point was regarding congressional action. Now, that really has to do with weighing in on sovereign immunity.
Okay.
As it applies off the reservation.
Okay.
And that's realistically what we have here. There is no reservations in Seneca
right.
or Cayuga counties. And they go back to a defined reservation as far as New York State taxation and finance, an implied reservation under those rules. So in with that thought in mind, we just met last week with Congressman Reed, who I'll be reporting to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow night, has agreed to assume a leadership role in helping Seneca County as far as congressional action, to take a look at this sovereign immunity.
It's long overdue.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Bob Shipley's on the couch. We're going to talk a lot more about issues that he is facing and his colleagues at the board level, our Seneca County, which obviously we all are members of, and we invest and we vote for these fine folks to represent us. They do an outstanding job, and again, to me, they're like Rodney Dangerfield. They don't get a lot of respect. And it's quick to point out criticisms when people make decisions and the board makes decisions, whether you like them or dislike them. We put these folks in office for a reason, to make the call. And sometimes you may say, well, didn't like that call, but that's okay. That's part of what Bob and his colleagues do. And we got to roll with the punches. And Bob's going to talk about some issues. I'm going to ask him, what are the pressing issues that he sees other than what we just discussed? And also, we're going to talk about the Lago Casino. By the way, let me run this by you before we get to our first commercial and our only commercial break during this show. The Lago, obviously, this is, unless you just came back from Ukraine, the Lago Enterprise Casino, the Wilmorite family, trying to build a $475 million casino in Tyre, New York. It's been well documented. Lots of publicity, and believe me, we're not through with the publicity side of this, I'm sure. Every night we get pro casino letters in the paper, and then we get anti pro and I love these pro and con. You know, I love gamble as much as anybody. My wife and myself, we love to invest some money. Which investing is a good point. You don't get any return on that investment. Once in a while, you get lucky and win a buck. But the point is, this huge casino is being ready to go. They're ready to put the shovels in the ground. Believe it or not. Bob's got his Lago shirt on, which I thought was cute today to wear. We're going to talk about the pros and cons in his view. And but the gaming board, led by Mark Guerin, president of Hobart, is the chairman of this. They're making casino proposals right now as we speak. And I'm going to give you the website. I don't want you to get away from the Weber Show until 10 o'clock. But at 10 o'clock, you could check it out. It started at 9, I believe. You know, New York, let me say, they might be a little bit late. But anyways, the website is, let me give it to you right now, www.gaming.ny.gov. That's www.gaming.ny.gov. Supposedly, you'll be able to go in there and check out the live streaming of all of the proposals, not just the Lago one, but the ones Bob mentions. He's from the Southern Tier. They got a couple of interests involved in trying to get their license. They're only going to give one. So it's a battle, and they're going to make presentations. They're limiting them to 45 minutes to an hour, and those presentations will take place today and tomorrow. So check it out, and you'll get a chance to see what each of these developers are going to present to the gaming board. And I think, Bob, before we take our break, I think a decision probably will come up in a couple months, right? October, November time frame.
Well, they say they're trying to make a decision October.
October.
But I think we all believe that the actual decision will not become public until the day after the elections.
Interesting. Okay. We'll continue with Weber This Week. My special guest and friend Bob Shipley is on the couch this morning. We'll talk to Bob about a whole lot more. We'll even talk a little sports after this. Huga Lake National Bank, Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of the show for over 30 years. DA Liquor, Seneca Falls, Amy Padula and her great team will find that right spirit for you every time. Tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams, Wadhams Enterprises, your employer of choice. Proud supporter of this show and local athletics. Bob and Leslie Ullman, owners of the Ullman Theater, and Lions as well as the Newark Pilots, a minor league baseball team with a major league ballpark. Lizard's Tailgater Lounge, Waterloo, best mod sticks around where you can enjoy a drink and some laughs. SenecaFallsCountryClub.com, awesome 18-hole layout offering a 12-month payment plan, home of the toughest par 4 in central New York. Wilson Press, WPress.com, Seneca Falls, Rich Rickey, my good friend and his team, can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Rich Rickey, Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week. Well, top of the morning, and it's the dog with you in the kennel here on a good old Monday. Weber This Week, broadcast every Monday morning at 9:30. We got a host of guests coming in the next few weeks. We'll talk about them in a minute. But before I go back to Bob, a couple of things regarding roller derby. I went over last week and checked out the Lunachicks. You know, they were on the air, Wendy and April, spring loaded. They were on the couch talking about their roller derby team. They practice and they play their matches, or bouts. They call them bouts in Lyons, my hometown, by the way. At the Lyons Community Center. So I promised them I'd come over and check out one of their practices. I did that last week. Of course, I had to pick the night that we had a rainstorm. I could hardly see the road, but I got the Lyons. Check them out. I'll tell you what, folks, it's really a sight to behold. I can't imagine what it's like to see those ladies participate with two good eyes. I only got one. But it was impressive. And I was telling Bob and Jimmy the pads and, oh, my God, the gear they put on to rev up for this sport. It's pretty impressive. And I don't know all the terminology, but I met a gentleman over there named Lynn Fillinger. Lynn Fillinger, he's out of Webster, New York. He runs a photo company himself. It's called Mountain Man Enterprise. The reason it's Mountain Man, he's a big guy. He's the kind of guy you want in a back alley. But Lynn, nice to see you. I hope you're checking out the show this morning. And Lynn, by the reason I'm bringing this up is that we have made a proposal to them if they could come up with some sponsorship money. We would broadcast. Jimmy has approved to broadcast one of their games. There's only two of them left, the end of September and the end of October. We're targeting October 25th, a Saturday night in Lyons. We'll let you know as time goes on whether or not they're successful, but it would be fun. I've asked Dave Barnick, my broadcast partner since the 70s, to join me at the broadcast booth. So it'll be myself, Dave Barnick, and this Lynn Fillinger, who's very knowledgeable on the sport of roller derby. That should be a lot of fun. And they draw 100, 200 people to check out these bouts. It's really fun. And I want to thank Wendy Miller and all the folks that were very pleasant to meet the other day when I came over. You said you watched some roller derby, Bob, when you were a little bit younger. Pretty interesting sport, huh?
Yeah.
I like it.
Certainly keep Ooh, your attention.
It sure does. I'll tell you what, the speed around those tracks is pretty amazing. Hey, by the way, sad news on the Yankees. Derek Jeter's last year had Derek Jeter Day at the stadium over the weekend. Of course, sad in one respect. The Yankees, of course, put a fork in him. They're not going to make the playoffs, folks. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say that. Percentages say they can't do it. They're not hitting enough runs. Sorry. They're not – no offense, you know, and it's just not going to happen. So it's sad the Yankees look like they're going to be eliminated because – it's just the way it is. Sad to me because it's Derek Jeter's last year. You'd like to see him at least get in the playoffs, but I'm sorry, folks. I would say the dog has to put the fork in him. See ya. The Mets, again, are irrelevant. Sorry, Charlie, up at the Deluxe. I know he's a big Mets fan. Terry Collins keeps saying they want to play meaningful games in September. Terry better play with his kids because it ain't going to be on the baseball diamond for the major league scene. Once again, they're 15 out of first place. They're going nowhere fast. NFL started yesterday. Exciting. A lot of games. Denver crushing. They had a big lead against Indy. They win by, I think, 7 or 8 points. And the Bills, who I cannot stand, but Bob's a big fan, and I respect that. They are 1-0. So is it this the year they're going to finally break that snafu of 14 consecutive years without a playoff win? And NFL history, by the way, historical data is what we try to talk about in this show. And 9 years in a row with a losing record. Could they turn that around? Let's see, wait and see. I think their next game is San Diego, I believe. Cleveland battles it out with Pittsburgh. I'll tell you, one of the worst teams I saw yesterday is the Cowboys. Oh, my God, they look pitiful. Oh, Jerry Jones, I know he's a billionaire. God for him, but that team looks sad. Romo's throwing the ball to the other jerseys. They were going the other way. You know, hey, come on, Romo. The guy's making, I don't know, $10, $15, $20 million a year. You got to throw it to the guys with your jersey on. I turned it off. That's how sad it was. But by the way, I want to say a special shout out this morning to a young lady who works daily at Bonadent. Her name is Ashley, and I gave her a nickname. I always give people nicknames. I call her Ash. Now I got to look this up. I gave her a nickname. Ash the Dash. That's what I gave her. She works at Bonadent. She does a great job for the Bonafiglias, and she also bartends at Lizards, and she's cute. She's got two little boys, and she's a pleasure to be with, and she's a great bartender. So I promised I would say hello to Ashley this morning on the show. So Ash the, we'll be checking you out sometime this week, Ash the Dash. By the way, Bob, as you look at the board and as you look at pressing issues that you confront every board meeting and you committees work on, other than, obviously, some of the concerns about taxation and so forth, what are a couple of things that are on your radar screen to try to get figured out and to better set up the county and make it better for all of us? What are a couple of things that are a major concern to you?
Well, there is a whole host of them, and sure, we probably would need more time than we have today
to
get into them.
Sure.
But one of the things that we are looking at are the fees as far as construction and building permits.
Good point. I've been reading about
like
that.
That we had some local businesses come to us and say, hey, we think the cost to get a county permit to redo a roof is ridiculous. And we looked into it, and it was like $1,500.
Wow.
So we have a proposal to cut that in one-third, which we hope will help out. But we need to look at all our fees and what we do in order to make it it's a tough business situation for all of our folks that try to live and do business in New York.
Well, you know, as I get near 70, another 6-8 months, Cuomo keeps telling us how great it is to be a New Yorker, and we just heard from the comptroller that we got some $3 billion excess cash in our tills there. You're a businessman. You know businesses. You certainly are involved in understanding what it's all about. Is New York improving at all for businesses, or is it just stagnant? Or they keep saying how great it is to come to New York and set up a business. It sounds like you don't buy that.
Well, I suppose it depends on who you listen to.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, I think the business economy is picking up. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't feel that they spend the money in the right spots. So we'd like to see that redistributed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Our local economy, statewide construction, especially highway construction, puts money in everybody's pockets. The workers, and the workers spend money locally.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes the world go round.
And, you know, back on the Lago Casino, of course, as I told you before, those streaming meetings are being held right now. Again, if you just tuned in the show, I'm going to give you that website again to check it out when I come off the air this morning. If you want to check out their presentations, it's supposed to be underway right now. But again, we're talking about New York here, so let's not get too excited. www.gaming.ny.gov. If you click on that, you should be able to pick up their presentations. It started at 9 this morning. I believe Lago, the Tire Casino Project, the developers, Wilmerites, I believe they're presenting later in the morning, I think 11 to noon, something like that. So check it out. They will be streaming information today and tomorrow. And, you know, Lago, of course, Bob, it's been well established. A lot of the people obviously support it. They believe it's going to change economically the area. It's going to put a lot of money in people's coffers. It's going to bring construction jobs, employees. I guess, I love to gamble. If I was a multimillionaire, I'd probably live in Vegas. I wouldn't be a multimillionaire for long. You know, gambling in New York State with four casinos being approved by the voters, this is why we're moving toward this. But it must concern you and other people in the gambling aspect thinking about it. Just that Atlantic City news. I know they're Atlantic City, New Jersey, the boardwalk. I spent many a vacation there with my wife and family. And it really, it kind of hit home with my intelligent level relative to 2 years ago, a company called Revel, R-E-V-E-L, built a casino in Atlantic City 2 years ago. Not 20 years ago, two. You know what they spent on that casino in Atlantic City? Are you ready? I think the Wilmerites is $475 million. Revel put up a casino, entertainment center, $2.4 billion. That's billion. Revel, R-E-V-E-L, $2.4 billion. At one time, Atlantic City had 12 bustling casinos. Today, they have seven. Revel announced 3 weeks ago they were closing the doors. 3,400 employees on the street. And as I look at gambling, and I know New Jersey's not New York, but it's not that far away, and I'm thinking, Bob, you know, we're going to get four casinos, whether it be in entire New York, whether it be down at the Southern Tier, wherever it be, whether it be up, Saratoga, wherever. I'm wondering if gambling is contracting. I wonder if we have got too many of them, because obviously it's not a great segue to people thinking that it could sustain, because with this Revel, I mean, maybe we got too many of them. Maybe there's an issue of excess. There's only so many people going to go to casinos. What's your view on that? Is that a concern as we look forward? I know Wilmerites are excited about the tire operation. I get that. Statistics, and based on what I've been reading about casinos, and there are a lot of studies that say gambling is starting to contract. Is that an issue that concerns you a little bit?
Maybe. Well, sir,
yeah,
I believe so. I think you're spot on.
Yeah,
obviously, New York State can't solve all their problems.
Oh, I agree.
By granting casino licenses
10-4,
and the more they put in, the oversaturate the market.
Oh yeah,
so
it's going to be interesting.
But on the same token, the way the governor set it up, you know, we took New York State and divided it into six areas.
Right.
Three of them, only Indian casinos.
Right.
And three private areas.
Mm-hmm.
I would just as soon be in a private area
right.
as be in one of the Indian areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I get to bring it back to the Indians again.
Sure.
In that, you know, our local group, the Halftown faction.
Right.
They have petitioned the federal government, the mm-hmm. Bureau of Indian Affairs, and you know that their petition is a gaming.
Right.
It's specifically for gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quite honestly, we prefer not to have another Indian casino or any type of gaming being run in Seneca County. So that's the difference between the Indian-run casinos and the private ones. And quite honestly, we see the Lago proposal as being a economic type development for the 318-414 corridor.
It's going to be it's going to be interesting. And as we look at the clock, it's 10 o'clock. It's amazing how fast this show goes. I want to remind everybody. Of course, one other comment about the casino that I never really heard that's been touched. I know the president of the Finger Lakes Casino Racing up in Farmington. I've met him personally. Matter of fact, I had a drink with him one night. We were chit-chatting about something. And when this Lago got presented, I asked him to come on the air. And they got some litigation going somewhere. He didn't want to come on at that point. But I asked him about, now they just don't, they have the horse racing, which is pretty pathetic. I got to say this, and I love horse racing, but that is pathetic up there. They some days have 7 or 8 races. They can't even get 9 races together. But they have a beautiful slot area, if you like slots, and that's all they got. They have no card games. They have Wolfgang Puck, a fine restaurant in there. I mean, they have a nice buffet, and it's very well appointed. It's very nice. It's clean. And I asked Chris Regal, who's the president, I said, Chris, if this Lago goes through and there's a full-fledged casino across the bridge, what would that do to Finger Lakes Racing, which is 32 miles away? He said it would basically kill him. He said thousands and thousands of Finger Lakers go to Finger Lakes Racing Casino every month. And you know, and I know, if you think about it, why would you and your family, or Jimmy and his family, or me and my wife Mary, jump in a car and drive to Farmington when you have a full-scale casino in entire New York? It wouldn't go. And I think no one's ever brought that up. I'm bringing it up because it's not anti-Lago. It's just a fact of life. If thousands of people go on the road, throughway, and get off at Canandaigua and go to that Finger Lakes Casino and watch the horses and go downstairs and play the casino slot machines, who in their right mind in the Finger Lakes, whether you're in South Seneca, Romulus, Canoga, Seneca Falls, who would ever go back there? I don't know of anybody. Why would you? Interesting. Bob, I wish we could talk for 2 more hours. You're an interesting guy. I'd love to have you come back sometime when we can discuss further elements of the board, and I appreciate you and your colleagues doing a great job for the county. And, hey, sometimes you win them and sometimes you don't, but I appreciate you taking time out.
Thanks very much.
Good looking forward to you. Look forward to playing someday in the golf. But Brad Jones, he'll be whining. He'll want more shots. Make sure you tell him the dog is kicking his butt, all right? All right. I'm sure you won't forget. Hey, folks, next week, paranormal, baby. We're talking psychics, mediums. Yes, we're talking, they got the convention. It's called Paranormal. Steve Brewer and somebody else is coming in on the couch talking Rod Serling stuff next week. Don't you want to miss it? Hey, you enjoy your week, folks. It's going to be a nice week, so have a good one, folks. This is Weber This Week, my way.
FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1. FingerLakes1.com.